It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We are in beautiful Indian summer Grand Rapids. Man, we had a little bit of warm weather come back to us. I'm missing the snap in the air because the next time, not this time, but the next time you listen to us, we'll be full-fledged in bow season. And that's something where I like it a little crisp in the morning. I don't like sitting in a tree and sweating and swatting
mosquitoes.
Right, exactly. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And thanks for joining us. It's the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we work hard every week to try and bring you something of value to help your grilling, to help your outdoor life, to help just being a man.
That's right. And this, to that end, this week we've got our friends from Al and Bob's. They're going to be talking a little bit about equipment and getting it tuned up before you hit the woods. And then one of our favorite guys that we talk to, Babe Winkleman, will be on the show. And that is a legendary name in the hunting arena. And he's great with recipes as well as hunting tips and techniques. So
yeah, his wife Chrissy's the recipe guru. She's cooked everything he's killed, and she can make like the gamiest meat taste like an awesome restaurant meal.
Yep.
But so how'd your week go?
Well, my
grill
week,
anything?
You know, I did. Since we've talked, I did the family smorgasbord. I had my brothers were all in for the weekend, and we went up to Mackinac, but we did a before they left, we did a family smorgasbord where I did pulled pork, I did ribs, and I did brisket. And I'm going to tell you that the ribs were the favorite for my family, and I did like four racks of them and pulled it together. But I was surprised because usually it's brisket that people gravitate to, and I would say that's number two, and then the chicken and the pork were like, because I did a little bit of everything, right? Beans, mac and cheese.
Did you use your big green egg?
I did, and the pellet grill. Mm-hmm. I used both of them. But the ribs, interestingly enough, I did kind of an apple profile on those with a dry rub. And then wrapped them after about 3 hours and left them on for another couple. And then put them right in the hot box, just like we would with a piece of a beef or a piece of pork. And never looked at them, never unwrapped them. And served the sauce on the side. And once I got there, opened them up, they were still warm, as I was hoping they would be. And they were off the fire probably a couple hours before I got there with them. And
what'd you put them in?
Just a Cambro, one of our cooking coolers.
And most of you won't have a Cambro, but it's a box you see caterers use. If you don't, a great thing to do is just use your very best medium-sized cooler, whatever will be the right size to fit all that meat in, and it'll keep that meat really hot.
Yep. And sometimes my tip to you would be, if that cooler is one you like to use over and over, I have them specifically for meat.
Put a liner in it.
Yeah. Put either a plastic bag in it so you can set your meat in it because you're going to get some juice. Or
I can think of a Yeti we ruined.
Put a towel down below and just let the towel soak it up.
I like the plastic bag idea.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Well, and that does two things, too, in my opinion, is if you shut that up, it'll seal the steam in there, too, and help with the
more,
heat.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And what really happens with that meat when it's wrapped up and in there is it's kind of steaming itself, and it stops cooking, but it seems to get more tender, if that makes any sense to me, I think. I don't know, but anyway.
I think it redistributes the moisture.
Right, yep.
If anything, but or both. So we did a wine tour. We took our motorhome to Traverse City.
Right.
And that was an adventure.
You didn't make it up there without incident?
No. I bragged up the guy that did my brakes last week, and I won't name him this time, but we made it to Coopersville. We had to go to Manistee because Maureen's road bike was up there. So
Harley.
Yeah. It's a very skinny-tired little racer.
Yep.
And so got to Coopersville, and I'm smelling smoke, and I pulled over, and those brakes were just smoking.
Ooh.
So I went up to Fun and Sun RV, and they said, oh, sorry, man, we don't work on motorhomes. I'm like, ah. So they said, but there's this truck garage down the street. And so we drove, you know, by then the brakes had cooled off a little bit. And we drove down the street. I think the street's called O'Malley. Yeah. And we found this great service garage. I'm looking for the guy's card. These guys were awesome. It's called Fleet Repair. The manager is Ryan Smith. This guy, you would have thought the president was in town when we pulled in. And he just took care of everything. Gave us a loaner truck. He didn't even do the original brake job.
Right.
So we went over to our friends in Allendale and spent the night with them. And
oh.
Had a great time. But if you have a large motorhome or a big truck, Fleet Repair in Coopersville, right on O'Malley. Talk to Ryan. This place is spotless. They had us in and out as quick as they could. We did have to spend the night because we didn't get there till like 4 o'clock.
Right.
But he stayed late to get everything taken apart to order the parts.
Wow. And he got them in. And you were back in it the next day?
We were on the road by 10.
Wow.
9:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he loaned you a vehicle to use?
Loaned us a vehicle.
Wow.
So disregard the great promo I gave the other company. I won't name them again, but... yeah, if you have a motorhome and needs brakes or any kind of work, that's the place to go.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and so then we made it up to Traverse City, and we had, of course, lost one of our nights in the state campground, but we stayed right in the Traverse City State Campground, which I don't think I've ever stayed in, but it's kind of it's one of those parks in the city that's a state park, so it's really nice, but you're still in the city, and you're a little bit packed. And this thing's 32 foot long, so getting it into a site was a bit of a trick.
Sure. Yep.
But we did, and we had power, and got the slide out and awning, and got all set up.
This just was like maiden voyage for you, man.
Just got everything set up just in time to go catch the. They rented one of these party buses, and my son Jordan's girlfriend and her family and a bunch of their friends were across the road at a set of condos. So the party bus met there, and we all got on the bus, and we hit we did the Leelanau side first. So we got to go to Leelanau Sellers, 45 North, and a few other places. It's blurry.
Right.
It's
yeah.
blurry.
Yeah, the first two you remembered after that, it all started to taste like red wine.
These darn kids, they were passing this bottle of clear liquid around, and it tasted like tequila.
Yeah.
So the next night.
Well, you had a driver. That's the good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The next night, we went to Black Star, Chateau Chantel, two lads, and one other one, and then
so you wine toured twice?
Yeah, 2 days in a row.
Wow. Same bus driver and whole deal?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You took it all in, baby.
They've got a lot of cool little buses. Same company, you know, fit
right.
16 of us. And what a fun group. It was just so much fun. I can't tell you. If you're going to do a wine tour, make sure you get at least 10 people and rent one of these little buses and forget the fuss.
Right.
Just let them drive you around because nobody wants to be DD. If you're tasting all these wines and having all this fun,
right?
You know, it's too tense to say, gee, did I have two or one? Or no.
Right.
Have fun.
Right. And be safe, right?
And it's such a cool area. And they have similar things down in the southwestern wine country,
right,
where Fenn Valley is. It's called the Southwestern Wine Trail.
Right.
And there's just a slew of great wineries down there. We should actually put one of those on sometime. We should organize that and end up at Fenn Valley.
Right.
Everybody bring your RVs and just camp there.
Right. Or we just put on a little barbecue and feed them before they go home. We'll have to work on that with Brian. I think that's a great idea because why not? You know, it's something to do, and we could do it outside and make sure that we have a little bit of good food, and you got a little bun in your belly before you head home.
There you go.
Man, that'd be great.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and you can check us out on thegrillingguys.com. You can go to our website, and top right side, you'll see a headset. You click on the link, and you can get the podcast of the show in case we're not in your area. Also, you can find the stations that we're on another page. And don't forget to like us on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy.
Coming up next, we're going to get you ready for a deer camp. Stick with us. We'll be back. Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering, better Michigan beer.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's deer season. This is the last weekend in September. So the next time you hear our pipes, it will be full swing bow season here in Michigan.
Might be some bloody arrows
right,
in the quiver.
You never know. I'm going to be going to a deer camp that first weekend in October.
Deer Tucky,
right. So we will be recording early next week, and I'll be able to listen to our show while we're down there.
Because, that's always fun.
I'm in the greater Lansing area is where I'm fortunate enough to have some buddies.
Oh, you'd be hunting for Gretchens?
Right, yeah, right. I don't know. Do you have to get in a tree for one of those? I don't think so. But anyway, you know, when I go down there, I'll be frank with you. There isn't a lot of hunting for me. There's a whole lot of cooking. And I'm kind of the camp cook, and they'll do a deal, smaller little get-together on Friday night. And then Saturday night, they have a yeehaw, you know, where they fill the pole barn with people, and there'll be 40, 50 people there, and we, you know, I'll
class
get together.
Class reunion.
Yeah, kind of like it's exactly what it is.
It's exactly what it is.
But I get to cook, which is always a lot of fun. So ribs and chicken this
so
year.
So you get to have another wedding reception.
Right, yeah, the Shartucky version.
Will
right.
Lisa come down
yeah,
with you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, she's going to be there. Yeah, we're actually
that's
going down.
That's not deer camp.
That's all right. It's good. It's good to have her there.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm glad
to
have her.
But better than sleeping with guys.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir. That it is. Amen to that. But anyway, talking about gear, food, all the stuff that you need to go to deer camp, it depends what your deer camp looks like. And basically, gear is what are you thinking?
Well, there's also another turkey season coming up, so
sure.
Some of the guys might be going up for turkey, and I think that's like October 13th or something. I don't remember the date now.
I think it varies by region of the state.
But I guess the first thing I would do right now is, if you're not flinging arrows, start practicing.
Yeah.
Last year, I got smoked because I didn't practice shooting sitting down, and I really never have. But I chose to give my blinds out to my boys, and I went and sat in Ted's condo, and I had to sit in a chair. And it's just not.
Part of me says, poor you. The other part of me says, I get it, because it's easy, it's hard to shoot sitting down if the arms of the chair are in the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, not only that, but it's a little slot, and it takes practice.
Right.
Doesn't matter how long you've hunted.
Right.
If you've never shot in that position.
Well, you're still shooting a compound bow, right?
Yeah.
You haven't switched over to a crossbow yet.
If I had a crossbow, this would have been easy.
Yeah.
That's a great spot for a crossbow. That's a good point. But, you know, a lot of guys still, my buddy still uses a recurve.
Right.
And I got another friend who uses a longbow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to ask Babe what he's shooting right now.
Well, coming up in the next segment, we will talk to him about that. But I love my crossbow. I mean, it's like shooting a rifle. It really is. And if you take care of it during the off season, I mean, you don't bump it around and bang it around, take it out of the, put a little lubricant on the cables. And bang, man, it's just dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I'm good to about 40, 45 yards, pretty accurate with it. After that, the bolt starts to fall off. You know, it's a little bit older one. I've got a 10-point.
Oh, you don't shoot 65?
No, I don't shoot 65. You could, but you better sight it in.
Oh, never mention it on air.
And the other thing is I got a scope on it with a variety of pegs in the visual, so you know where to aim, you know, and you can adjust, and that's where the practice comes in, though, man.
And if you're taking a lot of bad shots like me last year, you got to head down to Alan Bob's and get some arrows, because 2 years of too many shots has left me a little light on the practice arrows.
Right.
So I don't want to use all my good arrows necessarily. I don't like changing the tips out. So I'm going to go down and see Merle's son and let him hook me up and fix up some of my bad arrows.
Sure.
But I guess in as far as gear, one thing that somehow you've got to find a good hat light, and there's a lot of junk hat lights. There's a couple of them made in America, and those have always served me the best. Everything I'm finding now is from the CCP.
Right.
And I don't buy anything from those people anymore.
Okay.
So, food though, grilling.
Right.
Grilling at camp, especially early bow camp, is, I think, the greatest, because you're not freezing outside. You're cooking over a tripod or a grate.
Right.
And
a little portable grill, maybe.
Yeah, and you can go as simple as hot dogs and burgers and brats, or you can do something really cool like a beautiful pork chop or.
Right.
Steak or something like that.
That's right.
And you might want to bring a shovel, because a mistake a lot of guys make is to try and cook over the flames, and you're going to want to pull some coals out and put it underneath that grate so that you have a little milder temperature.
Right. Well, it might be just as hot, but it's not flaming, and it's not going to char things as bad. And so
you can actually control the temperature by the depth of your coals, is what I mean.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of those things that is, I like to do a lot of prep work before I get there so I can just pull it and cook it.
Right.
Right? That kind of stuff. And there's a lot of very cool things. Side dishes, vegetables can be in a bag with marinade, all cut up, ready to throw on a pan. You know, again, I'll bring it up because it's my turn to talk right now, is the Dutch oven, right?
You're just saying that because you have one.
Right, yeah, I do. But the Dutch oven is a great tool for camp, just because Bob has told you for years and years the recipes.
Write this moment down.
Right, yeah.
Now Job's bragging about a Dutch oven. The end is near, folks.
I'm teeing you up. Bob would cook anything in a Dutch oven if he could. So, and he does. So, but it's a great tool.
And well, one of the reasons I like to bring meat up from my freezer is that's my cooler.
I throw
that frozen meat in there.
Right.
By the time I'm ready for it, it's thawed and it's not so much water. So I leave it all cryovac'd until I get to camp.
Uh-huh.
So you like to prepare all yours, but I throw it in frozen.
Well, it depends how long you're at camp, too. I'm talking about a two-night, a weekend deal.
I put it on the picnic table and get my big cutting board out, and, because that's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot to haul around, big cutting boards and things, but, you got a motorhome now.
I got a 32-footer.
So. Right, yeah, exactly. But so I see on the show plan here is too cold for tents. Come on. Really?
It got cold quick this year.
You've been advocating tent camping since I've known you, but now you have the motorhome, so
I'm getting old.
Immediately he gets soft when he does that. But
it took long.
Right. Yeah.
Well, this year it got cold quick.
Well, this last week wasn't too bad, but I agree. It'll get there.
I just don't like waking up in a cold, cold tent.
Right.
I mean, I will, but man, it's so hard to get out of the sleeping bag. You know, it's just like, you have your own Dutch oven in there.
Right.
So, depends on what you ate the night before.
So I'm now working at Camping World in Grand Rapids, and it's a sea of RVs, and I'm already wanting to sell mine and trade up.
Right. Well, you knew that was going to happen.
Oh, no,
right?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I really didn't. I was not looking that far ahead.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, my gosh. The things that they put in these things now, it's...
See, though...
They all have slide-outs.
Right.
I was in a truck camper yesterday. It's called an Arctic Fox. And Carl has a truck camper, really nice one. And it's 15 years old.
You're talking on the bed of the truck.
Yeah.
Right?
And he wants a new one. So I went in one to look for him, and it had a slide-out, the dinette, bumped out. And I'm here to tell you that is the, you know what?
Nice.
The thing was twice as big as all the other ones.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Coming up next, we're going to have an opportunity to talk with our friend Babe Winkleman. He's going to tell you a little bit about the fall hunting season prospects. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the last weekend of September. What that means is deer season is just around the corner for us guys here in Michigan. And you know what? Every year we have the distinct honor and privilege of talking with one of the best hunters in North America. Bob, one of your buddies named Babe Winkleman, right?
That's right. And right now we're going to talk to Babe. How you doing, Babe?
I'm doing great, Bob.
Hey, so glad you took a little time to share some of your insight and sage advice with all these bow hunters out there. Right after you, we've got Alan Bobbs coming on to talk about equipment, and it seems like every year when you're on, they're on the same show. So I guess I'm not very creative, but anyway, it's a good match. And my bride told me the autumnal equinox was coming up, and that Jop and I were talking about that, and he said, well, that means that's Babe's cue. And I said, all right, I got to call him up. So just kind of wondering when you think rut's going to start.
Well, it's going to be a unusual year.
Shocker. Yeah.
The autumnal equinox has happened already. And that's going to put the onus on to two things. Historically, it would move it to the second full moon, which would be towards the end of November. For it to really kick in and peak. On the other hand, right at the end of October is going to be the first full moon after the autumnal equinox. And you've got a couple of other factors coming into play there. One is the amount of daylight that's out. Photoperiodism gets some deer ready to go for rut. Usually the ones that go in are almost without exception, the ones that go into rut first are the very oldest does. And when that happens, there might be just one or two come in right away, and you might have a pile of bucks on each one of them. So it could be a real unusual period at the end of October and the 1st of November. But I think we're going to see a partial rut in October right at that last week and into the 1st of November. It's then going to slow down in the middle of November, and it'll keep moving because, again, photoperiodism is a factor as well as moons. But I think we're going to see the heaviest rut later on in November.
Well, that'd be interesting. So it's going to be two phases, basically, you think?
Yes, and that's not unusual
no.
either. That's typical, but it's a matter of where those moons fall
right.
to how many get active in October and those first couple of days of November. And this year with the moon going full right then, I mean, the full moon is next week for September.
Mm,
so
right.
it's about that same exact time in October, and that's going to change things.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we are talking with Babe Winkleman from northern Minnesota. You've seen him on countless videos. He does a lot of work with. Are you still working with Cabela's?
Not at the moment, but in some ways, yes.
Okay.
But I do have a major announcement that I need to make to your audience.
Oh, what's that?
About 10 years ago, we started getting letters from baby boomers who had raised their families alongside of me raising my family for 40 years. And now their families are raised and they have their own families. And the baby boomers want to get all three generations together and binge watch babe programs, if you will, and then spend the day talking about the outdoors to get all their grandchildren and their children's children very involved with the outdoors as they did their own children. And they started wanting to buy series of years in the past that were on DVDs and stuff, and we don't sell them that way. But we have something exciting right now, so exciting for the people. We have switched from television to streaming video. The way to see our shows right now, and there are a lot of people getting to me through Facebook, where do we see your shows? Where do we see your shows? On a website, it's called Get Outdoors TV. And you got to make sure you put the S on the end of outdoors. It's not outdoor. It's getoutdoorstv.com. When they go to that, it'll take them right into initiative. Our initiative, click on topics, and it'll take them right into all of the different categories. Click on either hunting or fishing, and our programs come up. Right now, we have 104 programs up and live that can be viewed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There are no subscriptions. There are no apps. There's no cost. It's 100% free to the viewing audience at all times. And we're in the process of posting 800 more shows. So all of the old shows that as far back as we can take it will be up there for free. And once those all get up, then we will start producing new shows again. And they'll be able to get them anytime, no matter where, free for the rest of their lives.
That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing some of your original ones because that's about the time I started watching you, so
well,
it's always fun to look back.
The website we're on is called Maven. It has 150 million unique visitors coming to it a month. That's different people. It's a giant thing. We are also available through all smart TVs on a global basis at the present time.
Nice.
And then we're adding in Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and a whole bunch of others.
Well, that's
good.
And
that process is in motion right now, so it's going to be the largest streaming video network, I think, probably, that'll exist when you include all smart TVs because there's billions and billions of them.
Well, that'll be good for my boys who are off serving in different parts of the world, and they're going to miss deer season this year.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good for everybody because there is no one time slot I can buy that makes it convenient for everybody in today's world. Our world has just changed with all of the different technologies and so forth. Now they can look at our shows, any of the shows that they want to, at any time that it's convenient for them.
That's awesome. So, Babe, we have 1 minute left. Can you give the top three mistakes that bow hunters often commit?
Not following the wind properly. B, not scouting enough ahead of time to know what the deer are doing ahead of time from a distance, and C, not practicing enough. So they're not, they don't have the muscle memory that's automatically in them and controlled by their subliminal mind. They get too conscious of the moment, and then they get spooked, and then they don't make the shot that they should make.
Yeah, because it's not feeling natural to them.
Exactly.
I couldn't agree more.
But practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Too many guys go out and just sling arrows and fling arrows, and they think, well, I'm trying to build up my muscle memory and this, that, and the other. Yeah, but they're not doing it from a perfect standpoint. You're better off if you go out every day and you shoot one arrow and you take your time and you make sure you get that one arrow perfect than you are sitting there shooting 20 arrows and just kind of slamming them at a target.
That's
perfect
good.
Practice makes perfect, not practice.
That's good advice, and I couldn't agree more on the wind either, and I think that's something that is that dogs all of us because the wind tends to shift around. And I guess that's why I like getting up in a tree, but that'll get you too. Babe, it's so nice to talk to you again, and say hi to Chrissy, and I hope your family's doing well, and we're going to make sure we go to Get Outdoors TV and check out some of your videos, and can't wait to see them all.
Yeah, I've got people bow hunting at the ranch this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and my couple of friends and myself and my son-in-law, and... we got a pretty good grip on what the bucks are doing. We got a hell of a crop of deer this year.
That's nice.
Good for you.
Should be exciting.
I bet. Okay, babe.
Bow hunting is always exciting. What am I talking about?
Oh, I know. I look forward to enjoying a glass of scotch with you again someday.
All righty. On Sunday nights, we do a thing called Scotch Sundays. It's a kind of a social mixture. If you ever want,
all right.
Well, I mean, it's a Zoom meeting.
Oh, nice!
People
oh,
from all over the United States in it.
All right,
and I'll invite you as a friend.
I'll take you up on that.
All right,
thank you.
Bye now,
Babe.
Have a great day.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You bet. That is Babe Winkleman, a very famous hunter, fisherman, and the man that taught me how to drink scotch.
Right. Coming up next, we got Al and Bob Sports going to talk about the equipment to get that big buck. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations. 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We just had a nice conversation with Babe Winkleman about the upcoming bow season. But guess what? If you don't sit in a tree, you might stand in a stream. You know, and then there's salmon, steelhead, kings might be starting pretty soon. And we thought we'd reach out to one of our local experts, Bob.
That's right. Al and Bob Sports. longtime partners of the show. And one of their fishing experts right now is on the grilling line. His name is Ben Rand. How are you, Ben?
Good. How about you guys? How you doing?
Hey, I'm just wondering what the salmon in the stream are looking like right now.
Yeah, the salmon are definitely coming in. It's been probably a week or two since they've started to come in, and the kings are starting to move in a little bit more now, too. I mean, everywhere, Grand River, Pier Marquette, up at the Betsy, everywhere there's quite a few fish running.
That's cool.
So, Ben, if a guy's not done the river fishing before, short of hiring a guide who has all the equipment, what kind of things, what are the three or four things that are must-haves if I'm going to be successful in the river?
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of depends where you're going. I mean, I'm going to talk about the Grand River just because that's the most local.
But we're all over the state, so there's lots of rivers, and we got a lot of listeners up north. So you've also got smaller streams, and I'm thinking waders.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Waders, I mean, the equipment you really need, you're looking at a somewhere between an 8-foot and a 10-foot rod, spinning or bait casting, even fly fishing if you want. If you're going for a spinning setup, you're going to want a bigger size spinning reel, whether it be a 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 size. And, I mean, line, you're going to want somewhere between 15 and 17-pound line, just so when those fish get you around some trees up in the river, right, you're able to work them out. And then a lot of the guys are right now throwing either little flies or little beads that imitate salmon eggs that are coming down the river.
Hey, Ben, I'm thinking to myself, is some of those fish are a little bit gun-shy or a little bit picky, if you will. Am I running 15-pound line right up to my hook, or is there a leader on there?
No, yeah, so you're going to run a leader. It's usually you're running about 15, 17-pound line, main line, and you're going down to a 10-pound-ish leader for salmon. And then when the steelheads start running in, you're going to downsize that even more down to about an 8-pound leader.
Okay. That's cool. I thought there was, because I thought that 15-pound might be a little heavy for right at the knot.
So if, yeah, I'm, yeah, so if I'm doing the Pier Marquette or the Betsy, when do you suppose those steelies are going to start coming?
I'd give it probably another
3 weeks
or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 weeks, if we get a good rain, I'd expect to see a few in there. Right now, it's just really kings, and there's a few cohos still running.
And it's a little early this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We've had, I mean, with COVID, obviously, it's been a weird year, but weather-wise, it's been pretty weird with, you know, the early spring, or early fall, excuse me, that we've got, and the cold weather, it kind of pushed them in a little bit more, a little bit earlier. So
yeah,
we're definitely
Michigan.
Getting...
Lake
yeah,
Michigan
yeah.
cooled down a lot, and so did Lake Huron. So I
yep.
think that triggers them to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the colder weather brings the water temperature down and just kind of moves them along in the process. So I'm kind of hoping we get a little bit longer of a season this year than we have in the past, too.
And are you getting out in the river?
Yeah, I'm trying as much as I can. We're working hard to keep bringing product in for our customers, but when I've got the chance, I'm definitely getting out on the water.
So if a guy didn't have a pair of waders, what style would you recommend?
Personally, I like the neoprene waders with the built-in boot. It's kind of just an all-around basic, one-stop shop as far as waders go.
I like those, too, because it just seems a little easier than trying to put a boot on once you got your wader. It's like there's so much stuff to put on before you get in the river. I like just sliding into mine. I got mine from you guys, but they're not neoprene. They're more of a canvas vinyl type fabric. I got them a couple years ago. They've been awesome.
Those canvas ones are really nice for early season. They're a little bit more breathable, per se. Not in the sense that they let water in, of course, but as far as letting air out and airing your legs out, those are a little bit nicer during the warmer months. The neoprene is going to keep you a little bit warmer throughout the cold.
Right. The neoprene I don't like them because I feel a little restricted in them, where the canvas ones that you're talking about If I'm in colder water, I'll just throw on a pair of sweatpants underneath.
That's what I do.
And the other thing is I like having wading boots that are separate from. I like stocking foot waders with a boot on them. I've got both, right? But those neoprenes to me are just clunky. I feel like they're really heavy when I'm walking around in them.
I've never had any, but well, I guess I did. I guess one of my pair was they leaked too quick on me. But these, I find that if I just put some longies on and a pair of sweats.
Right.
I stay plenty warm.
Right.
It's
exactly.
My feet I have to be more concerned about. So my boots are kind of big, so I just put a nice big thick wool sock on and I'm fine in the water.
Right. Right. It's good.
Until I'm not.
So Ben, what are you using for lures/baits for the salmon in the river?
Yeah, right now there's probably four main ones that guys are running. Starting out with float fish, and guys are usually if they're running a float, they're going to put some sort of a bead below, whether that's a hard bead or a soft bead is really up to them, and something around the size of a 10-ish millimeter, 10, 12 millimeter bead, and you're going to want to run that about an inch or two above your hook, and you can come on in, and we'll get you all set up for that. And then guys reeling through the holes are reeling in like thunder sticks, little crankbaits, and Arctic spinners are real popular right now, too.
Very cool. Good. So, Ben, if somebody wanted to come down to Allen Bob's, where are you guys at?
Yeah, we are right on the corner of 131 and 68th Street. The address is 510 68th Street Southwest in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
So you're 1 mile north of me. I'm just the next exit down at Camping World. I stopped into your place the other morning, but it was a little too early. Merle wasn't around.
Yeah.
So, do you buy in any of those jigs from Sackett? Is he still doing that? The guy that used to work for you?
I don't believe so. Okay. I haven't heard the name yet.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Anyway.
Just another one of those Allen Bob's guys I ran into deer hunting. I got a lot of Allen Bob's stories.
Everybody does. Yeah, we've been with them a long time. But, Ben, thanks for your time. Appreciate you hooking us up with this, no pun intended. And we look forward to darkening your door. Come in and grab some lures as we head to the river. So
absolutely. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you bringing me on.
All right. Take care.
Ben Rand, Allen Bob's.
Right. South end of Grand Rapids, for you listeners that are from out of town, it's real easy. They're 100
right
yards off the exit?
Right by M6.
Right, yep.
On the southeast corner.
Right, exactly.
So anytime Jop says, no pun intended, he really means that was supposed to be a pun.
Well, you know, I'm hooked on it, right? I get it. But anyway, coming up next, we talked a little bit about salmon, so we probably ought to give you a recipe or two for them. So
sounds good.
As you're listening to this, I've been pink salmon fishing on Lake Huron, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a man, 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 a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Today's man law, number 47. No man shall spend more than 2 minutes in front of a mirror. If more time is required, 3-minute waiting period must be allowed before returning to the mirror. A special allowance is made for hunters putting on camouflage.
Takes you more than 2 minutes to put on your camo paint?
It's about 10 minutes.
Is it really? Yeah. You do that, that's special. Good for you. And probably take you that long to take it off, too, wouldn't it?
It takes about
an hour. That's when you want to be in front of the mirror is taking that stuff off.
No, I just leave it on because I never go anywhere.
Right, yeah.
It's all over my pillowcase by the end of the week. And to be honest with you, it doesn't help my aim, so I'm going to be practicing.
Yeah, they still smell you, even if they can't see you. But But anyway, let's talk a little bit about a cedar planked salmon. And that's nothing special there. I leave the skin on the fillet and soak that cedar for about 15, 20 minutes. Now, what I've done before, which is kind of cool, is buy a pint of cheap bourbon, like the cheapest stuff, 10 high or whatever you can find, and soak that plank in that bourbon. Gives you a nice little smoky bourbon flavor on that salmon when you eat it. But the key to this thing is I put a little dry rub on the salmon, and then I glaze it afterwards. And the dry rub is simply salt and pepper, and I do a little bit of coriander. A couple teaspoons of coriander, salt and pepper, mix it together, put that dry rub on there, and put it on a grill, direct heat, because you want that grill to char that board, right? And get it smoking.
There's might not have coriander. You can always use thyme as another nice way to take right. off as well.
Right. And then, so when it's about 2 or 3 minutes before it's done, and I'm going to say that's 7 to 10 minutes into the cook, I'm going to take a quarter cup of pure Michigan maple syrup, and I'm going to take some grated ginger, little ginger root, grate up a couple teaspoons of that, and mix those two together, and heat them up a little bit.
With more of that 10 high in it?
Yeah, right. You could if you wanted to, sure. And then, but that little maple ginger glaze on there is amazing, guys.
Love ginger.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I was a Marianne fan always. But anyway, if you want to touch it with a little zest of lemon at the end, that'd be great. But just an easy little recipe to make your salmon just tasty on that plank.
If you're headed to the Northwoods and you're looking for some good food, make sure you stop into Chase, Michigan. It's on US 10, just west of 131. The Chase Creek Smokehouse is where I've been hanging my hat a whole bunch lately, and I will be spending the fall there.
Right.
And in February, you're all going to be able to join us in a chili cook-off, so keep that on your calendar.
Right.
All you snowmobilers especially, we're going to have some nice bonfires out in their courtyard. It's a giant place, biggest smokehouse in Michigan. You got to go there.
All right. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week, listening to The Grilling Guys, and we'll talk with you next week.
See you.